This episode is brought to you by Joe's Pizza Shop. If you're looking for some fire takeout, head on over to their new location at 8154 Jeanne d'Arc Boulevard. Order the 40 Creek Large Pizza, our personal favorite, which is guaranteed to satisfy your Monday night cravings. They also offer various crispy chicken options, such as wraps and sandwiches, which are all must-haves. Whatever you're feeling, Joe's Pizza Shop is your one-stop shop for tonight's dinner. Now enjoy the episode. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to East Conversations. Thanks a lot to everyone who listened to the last episode featuring the homie Matt and I. Hope you enjoyed listening to us give our breakdown on Dune Part 2 and just really getting into the lore of the Dune cinematic universe. So now for episode 132 of Easy Conversations. I'm extremely excited, of course, to be back in the studio virtually with the homie Matt. So what's up to the people?
What's going on, everybody? Hope you're having a great day right now. Looking outside, it's a beautiful day. Going to be kind of this what we're going to be talking about today. Kind of be a laid-back episode. Anything could be said. Eric, why don't you tell everybody what we're going to be discussing?
Yeah, I had to do a double take there on it's beautiful outside because this morning when I woke up, it was covered with snow everywhere that my eye could see when you looked outside. But yeah, it is a beautiful day, and aptly enough, we're going to be covering the spring season. So this would be the third entry in our seasonal specials. We've done fall, summer, and now spring. We've done a couple of Christmas theme episodes, but never really sunk our teeth into winter. Maybe a future topic for another episode. But now spring, the third one, kind of the forgotten child when you think of seasons. Mm-hmm. It's really one that maybe is ranked number four in some people's books, or maybe not. We'll get into that as well. So yeah, just like while it's seasonally correct, let's get into the spring season. Everything that's kind of going around in this time, holidays, the weather change, all of that. So maybe that's a good spot to start off in the discussion, Matt, is what I just said, basically. Do you agree with that sentiment that spring would be the fourth season? If you had to rank them all, what are your thoughts on kind of where it fits in? Like, just thoughts on spring in general, if you could start us off with that.
Well, first of all, I want to address the snow. I'm like an hour away from you, so I got nothing. So we're in different like temperature time zones. We don't really get to enjoy spring. Spring to me, it's in my top two, Eric. That's how I feel about it. I love spring. Yeah, because I like heat more than cold. And spring, like summer would be one, then spring. I find it gets, so the reason why it's hated on is because it goes by in the blink of an eye. And I think there's enough people that have winter activities in their schedule that they like winter enough. But to me, like, winter is dead last. Like, spring is awesome because it's the end of that dreadful season. This year, Eric, I don't know about you, but we've been blessed with an amazing winter, meaning warm weather, not a lot of snow. I don't even think I used my snowblower more than five times. It was crazy.
Saved money on heating just because we had some freaking weeks where it was 17 degrees in March. So it's like spring came early this year. It improved my mood. I don't know about you, Eric, but a nice spring improves my mood because the roads are clear. I don't have to drive on snow. I put my summer tires on early this year. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, spring improving the mood because it gets us from our like winter blues, gets us out of our winter blues. What do you think of that?
I agree, honestly, for sure, that the mood does get better. We get to, when we get the daylight saving too, like we get that extra sunlight in the day, right? Like that's just a natural mood enhancer for sure. Like who doesn't love the warm weather and the promise of summer that's around the corner as well? And you're right, like we've talked about on the pod, like January, February, like those are the dark months, right? Where if you can sneak a vacation in there, it's making it a lot more manageable. Whereas if you're just hunkering down for those 2 months, like you could really spiral and refer to a lot of the tips and tricks for mental health that we've referred to in episode 124, I believe. Just check that out and to get through those months when we get back to that next year. Yes, like I said, I would agree with that just for the spring ranking though. Like I do enjoy winter though. I just want to not brush over that. For me, I don't know if I would have it as my least favorite season. It's a battle between this and fall. And spring, I mean. So winter and spring would be my 3-4 spot. I'm not 100% sure yet, but like I like snow, to be honest. Like I'm a fan of seeing snow. I was actually happy to see snow on the ground in Orleans and in my ecosystem out here. I like seeing snow. I find it's just aesthetically pleasing. And also the cold, I feel like we need the cold to make us appreciate the heat even more. And if anything, like during summer, we, I don't want to say that we complain about the heat, but sometimes we do. And then when we get to the cold, we complain about the cold. So it's always a kind of a lose-lose at times. But it's like the Denzel said in The Equalizer, when you pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud. I don't know if that really applies here. I just wanted to say that, to be honest. But it's, I like winter and all, like just getting cozy under the blankets, fireplace to watch movies. I feel like it's prime time to watch movies. And then in the spring, we're transitioning towards those summer activities and maybe not as much television and wanting to be outside more. Final note too, hate to be that guy, but for me, I did not like that the winter was warm this year because I feel like not necessarily good in the long run, but it's true. It wasn't that bad of a winter for sure. Like uncharacteristically warm winter that we're used to seeing like heavy minuses in like February and January months. We didn't really have that. So personally, I'm kind of hoping for that next year. Again, not to be a downer, but I just like when those months are colder and I feel like it's kind of better in general. So then when spring comes around, we're like, we've really endured the cold and it makes you appreciate the warm weather even more. That's kind of my spiel on that.
I like what you said, Eric. I have very selfish reasons, especially living out in the country now, why I wanted a shorter winter. I financially gain from warm weather. Like I pay less for my propane that heats my house. So I save money when there's no snow or no cold, I should say. When there's no snow, like I have a long ass laneway. It's maybe like 200 meters. Like it benefits me to have no snow. I don't have to plow my laneway. I drive 45 minutes to work every day. It's fun driving when there's nothing on the road. So if I lived in the city, like if I had a smaller commute or walk to work, I think I would appreciate winter more. But now selfishly, like living in a farmhouse in the country, I freaking hate it when there's too much of it because it just makes my life harder. That's all. I hate I have much more to do. I'm busier. I've talked to a lot of people at work and like this winter has been brutal for them in terms of like anybody with a snowmobile, ice fishing. They all got cheated. Like whole industries got cheated this year for having warm weather. Like a lot of loss. Like I hope this is not a direction we're heading in. This might be a fluke, right? It might be freezing next year, lots of snow, but this has happened in the past too, where it's been warm in March and people have played golf in March, Frank, for crying out loud. So I hope this is a one-off in the sense that I don't want it to become like we're losing our winter. We still need some cold in our four seasons. Just selfishly, I like when it's warmer because it makes my life easier. I don't do any winter activities either. I agree with you, Eric. It's beautiful, the snow, like having a white Christmas. I don't think we got any of that this year, right? So, I didn't even watch The Thing this year. You know why? There was no blizzards. That day didn't happen this year where it was freezing and snow everywhere. So I didn't pop The Thing in. So,
Hopefully that doesn't become a trend, right? That you can get your annual The Thing in every year.
Yeah, I don't need an excuse for that. But did you experience that? Like people around you, like, oh, I can't go skiing, snowboarding. I can't do this or that this year. I definitely saw that around me. What's your experience with that?
Yeah, I mean, people telling me explicitly that I can't recall, but I feel like in general people didn't go out to do those things as much. Like I would have liked to go skiing this winter. It would have been possible. Like the slopes were open, just didn't get out to it. Maybe using this as an excuse that the season was cut shorter because of the weather. That's why we didn't go. But I still feel like I saw people who went out, maybe more out to Mont Tremblant and such to do those things. But yeah, I mean, also friends who traveled abroad to other spots in North America where the weather was more favorable for that, so they got to do that. But yeah, I can't recall like explicitly people saying the effect that winter, the short winter, warmer winter had on them. It was honestly a lot of people when they bring it up is like in a good way. Like, oh, the weather's nice. Yeah. And I can't fault anybody for that, right? I'm just making that point earlier. And I agree with you too there that when it's colder, obviously it costs more to heat up our houses, right? Like that Enbridge bill, like you hate to see it during the winter. You know, it's like almost doubling in fee. I remember the first time I got the Enbridge bill and I was just used to like the summer pay rates. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Like we didn't, I was just completely shocked at how much it increased by, but then just informed that, yeah, when you heat your house, that's what happens. The price goes up like crazy. So yeah, obviously when we get to the spring, like that's a great thing about spring is now you're kind of stabilizing more. And then during the summer, it's the AC that's bringing the bill up a little bit. But so spring is maybe like the perfect sweet spot where you're not needing to do anything, heat up or cool down. You're just at lukewarm room temp. And it's another plus for the most underrated season, I guess, if you can say, for some people anyways.
That's where my point was going, where it's when you go outside in spring, the bugs aren't massacring me just yet, you know, it's a manageable level. Perfect to go for a run. My street's perfect for running. I'm going to start I slacked off last year. I'm going to not slack off this year. Got to get back into like hockey shape for next season because I didn't do too well this season. But I'm going to start running again. It's the perfect time to run. Perfect time to do all my yard, like housekeeping stuff, outdoor stuff, you know. I just want to touch, I just forgot to mention this earlier, but like Ottawa's tourism in the winter, like that canal is like our staple of our city and it never got to be used once this year. I think that's a shame. So I'd like to see colder winters, if anything, just for the canal, because honestly, that's a big staple in Ottawa, right? Beaver Tail on the canal.
Yep.
Just wanted to quickly mention that, throw that in there before we just fully go on into spring.
Yeah.
So like in spring, you have the things that you always do in spring, Eric. For me, it's a lot of a cleanup, mostly like I seal all my windows, and in spring I take all the plastic off, and that's like the perfect time to like clean the windows, get my like lawnmower ready, you know, do maintenance on that. Just like cleaning the garage, getting stuff out. Yes, it might sound like chores to some people, but like on the weekend in the morning after a workout or something, you know, you have 2-3 hours to kill. It's fun to just hang out outside and just get your stuff ready, sorted. I don't mind doing that stuff. It's kind of like I have to do more of it living in the country, but it's relaxing. Throw some music on. Do you have any like stuff that you get to every spring, Eric, that's like on your list, or you just improvise and...
Yeah.
Week by week.
Well, clean my car is one thing that Andy is on me for months until I finally do it. So there's that. My car is just nasty during the winter. Like Kind Bar wrappers, plastic bag from Bulk Barn, like a protein shaker just perpetually stuck in the console. There's just like various coins everywhere. It's 2 pairs of shades. Yeah. Anyway, I could go on and on. I feel like I have. But anyway, so yeah, clean my car is the big one. Changing the winter tires, I actually enjoy doing now. It's been, I want to say 2 years now that I've been doing this. Really fun. There's that. Tuning up the lawnmower is probably going to be a new thing for me to do. So my parents did give us their lawnmower. So I think that one's going to need a bit of a tune-up. We didn't need one in our old place there. It was like we were renting a condo fees to care of the grass. Right. So now I'm back in the lawn mowing game. Don't love it necessarily. It's kind of maybe one of those things though where you're like, you don't want to do it, but then like a workout once you're in it, it's not that bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're outside, you're waving hi to the passerbyers, cranking an Easy Conversations podcast and my AirPods, just studying the game tape. Yeah, those are like things I can think of off the top. But it's in terms of a like, thing I look forward to the most in the spring, it's, you mentioned it earlier, golf. Like it's right around the corner. Mm. I can't wait to golf again. The weather is beautiful right now. We're probably looking at early April at this point when we will be able to get out again, I think, because the ground still has to be in good conditions, right? If they're still freezing overnight and a lot of downpour, I feel it affects the quality of the earth, and they don't want to open it if the ground's just going to get beat to shit because it wasn't like time yet. So that's coming up. Really excited for that. Yeah, I mean, golf is the big one. And then, like, NHL playoffs kind of starting up. Like, those are the two big things I can think of, right, in April. Yeah. So, how about, yeah, you, anything else in there?
Golf is a big one. I know a ton, like, I'm finishing out my, like, beer league hockey season. And everyone, like, we're not, half the people aren't even interested in playing hockey anymore. They all want to get out on the golf course. Oh, yeah. And they're like, I don't want to hurt myself right now. Golf starting soon. Golf is a big one. I feel like every year I'm going to play more and more golf. Last year, didn't play as much as I wanted to, but played more than 2 years ago. So I think this year I'll play more than last year. Like every year, play a couple more rounds. I know my dad wants to go way more with me. Like, I mean, he can go any day. He's retired. But like, I really need to stop slacking on that. It's just a big time commitment, but I got to schedule accordingly. I only work three days a week, right? So like it's definitely possible.
I think there's an event going on this summer where golfing may be required. So gonna be one to just get a couple of practice rounds in before then. I don't know.
But, if this is the same event I'm thinking of, then abso-freaking-lutely, I wasn't sure if you were aware of said event.
Oh, but, yeah. I've been informed on certain details. Anyway, we don't need to talk about that.
Okay. Anyway, that's one. Yeah. But yeah, golf. No. NHL. Okay. That's the thing. Spring probably has the best sports watching for me because NHL playoffs, start of the Toronto Blue Jays season, which there's something on every night. It's amazing. Sometimes I have to pick and choose. Like, am I watching the Jays or playoffs? The answer is hockey playoffs because it's just the start of the regular season, so the playoffs are more important. I feel like the NHL playoffs, like we've said a million times, those first two, the whole thing is amazing, but those first two rounds when there's a game every hour or so every night, like it's freaking phenomenal. So that's going to be fun to watch for a couple months. We'll have thoughts on that later on. I bet you when the playoffs starts, we'll do our predictions for that later at a later date. Another thing for spring that I like to do is just, you mentioned cutting the grass, actually. Let's go back to that. Because it's like a half a day thing, right? 4 or 5 hours because I have so much grass. I hated it at first. Now I kind of love it because it's like therapeutic because I have my music. No one bothers me. Half the time I'm riding a lawnmower or tractor. Like I don't have to like walk. So that's pretty chill. It's painfully slow. Like my lawnmower tractor is really old, was given to me by my girlfriend's dad. It's like, I can walk faster than this thing. So it's like a mind game of like, not like being bored, but just enjoying the music and having a drink in your hand. Very peaceful out in the sun and you get to tan at the same time. So that's how I justify it. I'm doing 2-3 things at once. Get the muscle shirt tan going on. But yeah, Eric, you'll get into a routine and it's going to be like nothing. You just schedule an hour or two. It shouldn't take you more than an hour, right? I've never been to your place. I don't know. Do you have a lot of grass to cut, Eric?
Less than 30 minutes. I'm done. Honestly, like it's a pretty small, front section. Cause we have a pretty big tree actually that covers a lot of radius there. It's actually obviously not as big, but reminiscent of the tree that was in our grandparents' backyard. Like it has that vibe, like that aesthetic. So like it covers a lot of ground. It's a nice, like, again, gives us some shade, blocks the peripheral for any enemies who are planning on, I don't know, doing whatever. But anyways, so then cut in front and then in the back, like it's a, not the biggest backyard there, but a few laps and get it done. So I'd say like 30 minutes tops, I'm done. I'm also like the lawnmower has like, obviously the wheels are spinning as well. I could just push if I wanted to, but there's another trigger that helps them. They're just rolling on their own. So it gets moving for sure. So it goes by pretty quick. It all depends on if I'm bagging the grass or not. I prefer not to, but sometimes I will get into the bagging game. But yeah. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you get some nice sun screen on and a nice tan going after that. And then a celebratorial drink afterwards. Sometimes a body armor, Powerade, if you will. But yeah. Just quickly to touch on what you said. I said it earlier too there, but first round of NHL playoffs, like nothing beats that for me for watching sports in the spring and summer. Like obviously when we get to the cup, I'm still very interested, but like first round, there's always something every 30 minutes or so, every game, every day there's like 4 or 5 games. It's just the best. baseball for me, again, not to be a hater, but I will be, really, like, it's not really my thing. So that is not an added layer for me in terms of the sports going on in the spring. And I'll just loop in and maybe we could touch on this, get your input here. March Madness, never cared, most likely never will either. Like, I ain't making no bracket anytime soon. I'm not betting half a unit on Villanova to win it all. I don't care who's the top prospect on UConn. Like, it just doesn't affect me. I kind of follow along because of people who I listen to their podcasts that they talk about and stuff, but I could not care less, honestly. What are your thoughts on March Madness?
I mean, I'm in the same camp as you, Eric. I don't watch basketball. I'll just say it all. Like, I don't know anything about basketball. I've never watched it. Here's what I'll say. The format is amazing. I love a do-or-die tournament. That's cool. If this was like a hockey do-or-die tournament with the juniors, that'd be cool to watch. So I got to say, cool format. If I cared about basketball and knew all the players, all the collegiate teams, then I would be really into it because the format's so cool. So yeah, I can't watch a game because I don't know anything. You know, I need to know the players. I need to know like who the good teams are. I've never been a basketball watcher, and that's just the way it is.
Okay. So honestly, what you just said there, very interesting, something I've never thought of. So, and it would be a great way to spice things up in the Canadian Hockey League, the CHL. So we've got the WHL, the OHL, and the QMJHL. Those three leagues, like, I follow the OHL and WHL a bit. Like, I follow like players and prospects and stuff. Q, I don't follow at all. Mm-hmm. But if there was this sort of thing where, obviously, there's the Memorial Cup at the end of the year, the champion of all those three leagues, and then the host team, they have a tournament at the end of the year. So it's like a battle for the crown for the entire CHL. Yeah. Like, that's a sick tournament. But if we took it another step where, like, the top, I don't know if it'd be 30-some teams are all placed in this major bracket style and single-game elimination, work your way to the top, that'd be a great way to boost, I feel like, engagement for those leagues, get to know the players. Because what happens in the Memorial Cup is the host city team, they're automatically in. Like, they could lose in the first round of their playoffs, they're making the tournament no matter what. So that team tends to stack up going into the year and make trades for like first round picks. They sell the farm on, like, just to stock up for this 1 year. And then the teams that end up winning their leagues, like, they normally stock up too. So it's always these super teams. If it was a bit more spread out, you could get to know like a few different top prospects from NHL teams on like Drummondville Tigers or whatever in the queue, and then like the Seattle Thunderbirds. And like, you get to, I feel like it'd be a cool way to grow engagement for these leagues and like drive interest in it, really, because I feel like the CHL is maybe losing a bit of its flair. There's a lot of like NCAA is kind of taking away some attention because of all the top players there. Anyways, huge tangent, right. But I feel like that'd be a cool thing to explore.
That'd be amazing, actually. Good idea, Eric. I mean, I just had a quick idea in my head, but like, the exposure would be immense. It'd be hard with hockey and basketball are two different animals, though, right? Like, it'd be a grind for a hockey tournament, I think. And one game, anything can happen in one game. I feel like basketball, the best team's always beating the weaker team. But there's always upsets in March Madness anyways. That's what makes the bracket challenge so interesting.
Exactly.
But enough about basketball.
Yeah.
Eric, you mentioned your backyard. Other than your barbecue, anything else like getting prepped in your backyard? Like lawn chairs, like gazebo, what do you got going on there?
We don't have anything really right now, but our intention is to do a bit of landscaping down the line. I don't know if it's going to be this summer. Would like to, but we have a very busy summer, honestly. So maybe that's something that we look at more next year. But we kind of want to get like, not a slab of concrete there, but just like an area where we could have, because we do have a table and chairs, like a nice little set that we could set up, but we just don't really have the space for it right now. It'd be kind of awkward just like on grass. It wouldn't look as nice. We could, but it'd be better on like concrete. So that's on our radar, but not this time. No gazebo right now either. Maybe that's something down the line. But so plans, but nothing imminent, I would say. I do want us to take advantage of the backyard a bit more. I would always go out there. We have an elevated deck. So like that's where the barbecue is. And, like, I'm always just whipping up there. It's right next to the kitchen. Very practical and like a good location. Just pop in, pop out multiple times. So that's pretty much where we're at with that. Did you have anything that you're looking like to change up in the spring? Like also a garden, I feel like is one thing we'd like to have one day there, but
yeah.
I think we missed the boat for this year too.
Yeah, garden. Well, first of all, yes, it is a busy year for you guys. I'm sure there's lots to plan and it will be, it'll be an exciting year for you guys. Garden's not going to happen this year. Let's be honest. I mean, we could start, we have so much room we could, but no, for me, it's mostly kid stuff actually prepping. Like, we dismantled the trampoline before winter. Now I'm going to be putting it back together. Actually, I could do it today for all, like it's, I almost didn't even have to take it down, which sucks because it's a pain in the ass. There's also, I have a giant play structure for my, for Mackenzie's daughter. She's 6 years old. She'll be 6 years old. So like play structure is perfect for her. I got to put a couple of pieces we detached for winter, the slides, the swings, stuff like that. I literally have toys. There's toys spread out throughout my property too. I'm going to have to go like collect them all because those windy days just spread everything everywhere. But I mean, maybe I'll make her do that because they're her toys. Your car, that's a good point. Spring's perfect for like doing the car wash, car maintenance, anything you want to like work on. I mean, I don't work on my car, but like cleaning it, I didn't do that last year. My car is filthy on the inside. I'm just like you. Like I have stuff. Ever since owning a car, I'm like, you know, when it's someone else's car, I'm more careful. When it's mine, I'm like, I don't care if there's a Timmy's cup there or whatever. I spill a little drop. You know, I need to up my game for that. My dad's even called me out on that hard. He's like, why is this car filthy now? So that's a good one. Also, a car wash. It's good to do the car wash after winter. Start off fresh. It's also good to like clean, like when you car wash, it's to clean underneath your car is more important too. Then you can do rust, yeah, and then it'll be ready for next winter. But other than that, like just, it's the start, basically spring is the start of like all the fun stuff we get to do outside. There's way more stuff to do outside in the spring, in the summer. It's the start of that. Like right now, I'm looking outside right now. I know I'm not gonna have to cut the grass for probably another month. It's great. Like this is why spring is awesome. There's like, it's just the beginning of the best part of the year. The beginning of just like starting to chill outside more, not having the heat on. It's a good time of year too, because, well, I don't know about you, but like a lot of the birthdays that like I celebrate happen during this time of year. My girlfriend, her daughter, some of the siblings.
All on her side, of course. You got Easter. I don't know if we want to touch upon Easter. Well, the best part of Easter is those days off work, the extra pay. Like, I'm going to get paid Friday and Monday and be off Monday. It's amazing. Let me just, did you want to comment on anything, Eric? I have a mini rant about Easter in the workplace.
Yeah, no, we can get into Easter for sure. And I'll just introduce it by saying, like, when we have like the long stretch of winter, right? Easter is one of those things that as an adult anyways, you look at as like, okay, this is my next stretch of time off. Another thing I would want to get into after Easter is March break, because as a kid, that's another great thing about, I think that kind of fits into spring, especially because in university, it's literally called spring break. So we can get into that after. Yeah. I just didn't really want to introduce Easter as like our first break when there is something else before in a different stage in life. But yeah, Easter is great because like me too, I'm getting the Friday, Monday off. That's actually this Friday coming up. So excited for that. Personally, don't really celebrate as much of the religious aspect of Easter as back in the day. It's really just like, it's a nice 4-day weekend at this point. And maybe I'll have some eggies as well. But Matt, you lead us off with a rant and I'll add on as applicable. So give her.
Excellent. Well, for about 9 years of my life, I worked at Farm Boy, the grocery store. People know that. I've mentioned it before. Easter in retail is hell on earth. It might be the worst time of the year, that and Christmas, because you get days where the grocery stores are closed, which makes the days that are opening, like the Saturday is the worst day of the year, the Easter Saturday. You're closed Friday, and most of the time you're closed Sunday. So you got that day of hell. You got ham, turkey, roast beef galore everywhere. I was in the meat department. It's like for 9 years, I hated Easter. I hated it because I'm like, I got to work. I don't want to shoot myself, which now that I don't work retail anymore, it's been 6 years, I appreciate Easter even more. I appreciate that I don't have to work those days. And it makes me love that holiday even more. And I kudos to the people working retail during Easter. It's terrible. And I appreciate those people. I applaud you. But like, get out. Don't work retail. It's terrible. It's only good like for part-time job when you're young. So I love Easter now because it's very relaxing. I like planning a big Easter meal now that like I'm in charge of that. I like going to the grocery store, not bothering anybody, but like planning a nice Easter meal. That's what I like the most about any holiday, Eric, is eating. So yeah, that's my mini rant. Easter, terrible if you're in retail. Now I have a question, changing direction. I have a question about Easter for you, Eric. I've experienced this with my girlfriend's family. The way they celebrate Easter is totally different than I've ever celebrated it. They treat Easter as like a gift-giving holiday. Oh. Not like chocolate bunnies, but actual gifts. Like a mini Christmas almost. You're only getting one or two, but you're still getting a gift. I've never seen that before. I just wanted to know, did you guys do that as kids, give gifts? Or were you more like my family, like Easter egg hunt and chocolate egg hunt?
We're definitely an Easter and chocolate egg hunt for sure family. Like, I've never heard of maybe like some sort of minor gifts being given that I want to say, and this might, I might just be confusing memories here, but I want to say I was given Pineapple Express one Easter, but that might have been because the movie, not The Strand. I think it's because my birthday might have landed like on that, in that weekend, so that's probably why. But I just made that connection right now. But anyway, so no, that's definitely awesome. Not like I feel like we always had family things, like probably with both sides of the family, but I'm remembering more with my dad's side of the family because there is a tradition that we have that I'll get into. But I can remember like my aunts and uncles giving me gifts. My Aunt Janet, shout out Aunt Janet, she gave me this, I forget the brand, maybe Cadbury, or it was some like Laura Secor, I want to say. Extremely rich egg. Like, I've never had one like that in my life. And I remember it was like a 3-4 sittings to finish this thing. It wasn't even that big. It was just so rich and sugary. It was delicious. But I think, anyways, it packed on a few LBs after eating that thing. But anyways, so no, Easter was, I loved it as a kid. Like, when my mom would like hide the eggs everywhere, and Zach and I would work together and maybe as individuals as well sometimes. But I think it was mostly like a team effort where we'd put everything in like a collective basket. And if it was split down the middle, like we always each had like the one big bunny. Maybe we had the cream egg, the caramel egg. I love those cream eggs. I don't know about you there, but those are, I found super sugary as well, but I love those. And then there's also the Oreo variant. Delicious. I would rank those two above the caramel egg personally. Anyways, so no, Easter, I loved it as a kid, honestly. It's an excuse to OD on sugar and chocolate. it was the best. Like, we had the plastic eggs, like the colored eggs, like the yellow, orange, blue, blah, 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 all that. My mom did a great job at hiding them all over the place. And we'd be like, all right, is this it? It's like, no, there's two more you didn't find yet. So I don't know. I always look back on it like it was super fun. And I think she did one for us probably way later than we deserved to have an Easter egg hunt one year. I forget how old we were exactly there, but I remember there was one that was like, all right, let's go. We're still doing this. No complaints, though. So shout out my mom for that. But yeah, you guys, it was the same thing for you?
Yeah, same thing. I'm not going to repeat what you said because it was the exact same for me. I'm just going to add that, like, sometimes, like, my mom would forget how many she would hide and we'd find them, like, a week or two later, you know, like, in random-ass spots. And we're like, oh, sweet, free chocolate. We're doing this, like, last 2 years, I've done this at my house. I've used the plastic eggs. We're gonna do that again. We're going to probably prep it soon, actually. It's next week. But yeah, like their family, like my girlfriend's family, like they'll buy like a spring gift. Like it's an Easter gift, but it'll be something to play outside with. There'll be something for the summer. Like it's an outdoorsy gift for everybody. Maybe it's not necessarily a bunch of individual gifts. It's like, oh, here's like last year it was tickets to the Blue Jays. I was like, that completely shocked me. I'm like, oh my God, I don't need an Easter gift, especially not one of that magnitude. I've never seen that ever, Eric. I was like, you guys give gifts during Easter? I'm like, I've never done that. And they're like, yeah, we all do that here. I'm like, what the hell? I don't know, different small town mentality, I guess. Maybe it's an arm prior thing. I have no idea. That's why I wanted to ask you. Ever seen that?
Well, now it's maybe creating some, I don't want to say pressure, but now like you got to pony up now next Easter, just buy gifts for the fam. And
I told them I'm not buying anything. I don't do eat. Like I'll supply them with the Easter meal, but like, I don't expect anything, and I'm not buying Easter gifts. That's birthdays and Christmas, you know? I don't know. It's like, why are we buying gifts again, you know? Anyways.
Keep the Blue Jays tickets coming, and I'll just keep supplying these fire meals. Like, it's a great fair exchange, no robbery.
Yeah, we actually are going. I'm going to see the Blue Jays in a month.
There we go.
Exactly a month, actually. Nice. So, more Blue Jays tickets. And it's also Mackenzie's daughter. She's turning 6. Pretty much during Easter, so it's like we're gonna double celebrate everything, so it makes it even more special.
Is that
April 2? Like, there's a what's
is
up?
Age 6 a break it like Easter Bunny not real conversation, or has that conversation already happened?
Yeah.
Is the Easter Bunny out basically? I don't know what kids these days like.
The
what
Easter
they
Bunny's out.
He's out. Oh yeah, okay.
Easter, he's getting phased out because nobody talks about him. I'll tell you what's in right now with kids, but like, I feel like the Easter Bunny was always the first to go between Tooth Fairy, Santa, and all that, because like, no one really gives a shit about him, and you kind of like, you're like, all right, like, what, he's hot. No, it's not a thing. Like, she's never asked once about the Easter Bunny, so I don't even think it's mentioned anymore. I'll tell you what's big right now. What's hot with kids is the Elf on the Shelf during Christmas. Kids gobble that up like, where's the elf this morning? You gotta hide it before they wake up, obviously. You gotta move it in the house and make it do silly things. But like, that is what kids are into, not the stupid Easter Bunny.
So my thing with the Elf on the Shelf is it not just like a toy of some sort? Like, do they not realize that it's just like someone is moving this thing, or they think the elf is moving itself?
No, they, like, we went to Canadian Tire once, and there's a whole bin of elves on the shelf that look like ours, and she didn't even say anything. Like, she thinks the elf goes to the North Pole after Christmas, and every morning we'll wake up before, the night before, really, we'll place them, like, hanging from the chandelier, or hang them, put them anywhere, and she thinks he moves by himself, Toy Story style.
That's,
you know?
Awesome.
When we're all asleep, the toys come to life. Even had, like, Mackenzie's younger sister years ago believing in, she was, like, 8 years old, but maybe she was just pretending. I don't know. I never know if they want to believe in Santa Claus and those things, and they're just like playing along with us. I don't know.
100% they want to believe. Every kid wants. It's sad to find out that they're not right. I remember when I found out that the Tooth Fairy was bringing me $2 at a time, wasn't real. I was devastated. It was all in one fell swoop, too. I feel like I've already talked about this, though, but it's Santa. You said like the Easter Bunny is the first domino to fall. Me, it was just all in one package. It's like, how dumb are we, though, as kids? Like, this massive bunny bringing chocolate and eggs in our house. That I don't know. It's wild. But, you know, it's good to have these things to believe in. The world is, now, obviously, like, I don't believe this really there, but, like, the world is a darker place in general, right? When you like, get out of these thoughts of like mystical creatures and believing in things, like in the real world, like it's just not like that at all, right? So it is,
it's true.
There is something nice about believing and thinking that there's potential for these amazing creatures out there. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's funny though.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say the religious aspect too. I don't really celebrate it. As a kid though, it was church and extra time, I believe. Like, it was the special, like, that's like the Super Bowl for going to church is that Easter Sunday, right? It's a longer ceremony. We touch, that's when Jesus was resurrected. So big deal. It's a really big deal.
Yeah.
No. It's a big week. It's a big 40 days actually for Christianity, like starting with Lent in March. Like, this is these are the playoffs right now for that. So
the sponsors are just spending, going nuts. Their advertisement through the roof. They're spending the millies for 3 seconds of airtime on the TV. It's nuts for sure. Yeah. But the Super Bowl.
It's all about family meals, eating good food, eating chocolate. Let's be real. Having extra time off work.
Yes.
It's a nice transition. You know, after Easter, normally the warm weather starts. This year, Easter's super early, but we're still going to get nice weather after that. Like, we're getting the warm weather early. Obviously, we've been talking about that all day. But yeah, family time, eating with loved ones,
yes,
partaking in chocolate and alcohol, you know, all the fun stuff.
Yep. So I just mentioned it earlier. I didn't really get into it, though. The tradition that we have with my dad's family, basically, I don't know if I've already said this on the pod, but there's my grandma, my Situ, she makes hard-boiled eggs and paints them like various colors, like the Easter. Have you heard of this, Matt? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So she paints them like the Easter colors, and then they're lined up in some sort of tray or whatever. You choose your weapon, your egg, and this is what you're going to battle with. And obviously, you're holding it in your hand. I'm saying obviously, I don't know if anyone knows what this is, but you hold the egg in your hand, and there's two ends to it, right? The top and the bottom. And the objective here is to come out on top with the egg that has at least one side that has not been cracked. You're holding your egg, and you're going one-on-one against one person, lining up your eggs. If you're watching the YouTube, you can see what I'm demonstrating here. One egg on top of the other, and then just you're dropping it on top of the other person's exposed egg. And one of these two is going to have a crack, either at the top, the one that was attacked, or at the bottom, the attacker. And once that side is dented, you have to flip it over, and now you're praying that the other surface doesn't break. Once both sides break, you're out. So it's basically just like a... Honestly, the cheat code to win is just be one of the last people to participate, because everyone just kind of kills each other, and then you're going up against maybe the last person. You haven't even gone to war once, and then you just end up knocking theirs, the one side that's bad, and like you win. So there's really no, I don't think there's a real strategy to it. Like, people try to hold and show as little surface as possible by having like their fingers cover the top of the egg, and then you're just fighting for that screen to hit. Anyways, it's always a good time. We played it last year. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if it's a Lebanese tradition. It's a classic in our household. Your hands do get a lot of like paint residue on them, though, which is kind of a bad buzz. But then you just you wash it off with a couple of rounds of soap and you're good to go. But yeah, have you ever heard of this, Matt? Play this? Thoughts?
My thoughts are that's awesome. I've never heard of this game. I love it that you guys played it. I love the same strategy that I used in dodgeball in gym class in high school. You know, stay out of the way, and then you'll end up in the final six just from like just not being in the front line at first. You know, but then get killed because all the good players are left, and you've done nothing all game. Anyways, we used to do like where I thought you were going was hard boiling them and then like decorating them. That's what we did. We'd get the eggs and then just decorate them. We wouldn't like fiercely like duel with the eggs, like like Squid Game style. Yeah. I don't know.
It gets pretty brutal. Lines are crossed.
I'm sure it does. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's like not cheating, but like, you know, like little advantages, like maybe swapping an egg, you know, getting a new egg.
Oh, yeah. We've seen the egg swap for sure. Yeah. But honestly, overall, like people are somewhat honest with it. They're like, once you're out, it's also not the end of the world. Like, there's no cash prize here. Right. You're holding an egg over your head after like a couple of fist pumps, and then it's just going down. Like, we're not even eating these eggs. Yeah. I think they just go to waste after. So right. Yeah, it should be like just to bring it back to earlier, March Madness style. You got an opponent, you win your matchup, then you sit it out until everyone else is gone. Because what we essentially do is like, winner just keeps going. It's like a king of the hill scenario that's not beneficiary whatsoever to the winner. You just have to, your egg is at some point going to break, right? So I might have to implement some sort of system this year. I'll step in as league commissioner. Yeah. Kind of a free-for-all how it's run.
Speaking of grandparents, I feel like we have gone to the French side of our family, to grandmama's house in the past for Easter. Like, if anything, just for like an afternoon of like, come visit whenever you want.
Yeah.
Or maybe like brunch at Gabriel's Pizza. I feel like we've done that. We've done that before. Was that for Mother's Day? I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's always a fun time seeing the family in spring. I mean, we used to do that. We don't do that anymore. We're all older and everyone has more stuff going on. But those were good memories I have. Hanging out together at grandmama's house into our little groups, and it's like no time lost, you know. This is like the pre-social media, everyone knows everything age, so it's like you reconnect with everyone. That's the best part of Easter.
Yeah, and that's honestly something that I hope down the line we can continue to have, because obviously our parents have a lot of siblings, and we're like every sibling, they all have two kids basically, so we have a lot of cousins, right. But we all have one sibling, right? Like are the kids, so we're only gonna have like so many cousins for our kids down the line. So I'm kind of hoping that when we're all older and have kids, like that our kids are all gonna be like cousins to each other, even though they're not technically first cousins. You know what I mean? Like, it just keep that kind of vibe. We need the home base, though. That's the thing. Like, we lost grandma and grandpapa's house, so that's a big reason I feel like why we don't have as many gatherings. Obviously, like you said, we're all older, way more responsibility and stuff. But there was a time where our parents were all busy, had responsibilities and stuff, and they all got together and at the family gathering. So having that hub is what needs to be established, I feel like, if we are to keep that kind of relationship with all of our cousins and then our kids, if everyone has some down the line, right? So anyways.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like, that's obviously the best part of Easter. It's not like the 2-hour church session. It's the food and just chopping it up, playing some games, some cards and stuff. Like, that's definitely what I like the most about Easter, for sure.
The older I get, and the more I realize, like, all I want to do is, like, play board games and card games with my friends and, like, movies. I watch a ton of movies, but, like, I'd rather play, like, me and Mackenzie, we always play Yahtzee, Scrabble. We're on a kick on Yahtzee and Scrabble right now. But, like, puzzles, like, I just want to do that with people that I love. Yeah. Like, when we all play, like, a board game or even if it's a like heads up or like gesture, any game, basically any game that's not a video game, that's all I want to do with you guys. Really, that's the best part.
It is the best.
Like what we did at New Year's thing at Uncle Alain's house, at our uncle's house, we played some of the interactive games. Right. That's the best part of any of hanging out with you guys and eating and drinking too. So we have to get back on that.
Yep. Well, I mean, spring is the start of that, right? Like, to do those things and, like, maybe get together and do pretty much anything, because it's, like, your tease to summer, right? Like we touched on. And just in saying that, I want to bring it back quickly to what I had mentioned earlier, tease to summer, March break, which is a time where, or spring break or whatever. That's kind of where, like, especially if you do trips during that time, like, you're getting your preview to, like, this is what's coming, like, this is what's going to keep me going for the, maybe if in the past, like, March and even April, there's a lot of snow, that preview, like, keeps you locked in and just don't get too down on myself, like, it's coming, good times or good weather is around the corner. I also want to just say, spring break, which was more in university, which was in, like, February, I feel like, while it is nice to get away after like those colder months, I feel like it comes too quickly. And I appreciated March break as a kid in high school and elementary school more, because it was a longer stretch of time and enough time had passed in between the great winter vacation of your 2 weeks off in school and then you're grinding it out in the January, Feb, and then March is like, all right, let's go. Like, and I had a lot of trips too in March break, so I'm very thankful and lucky for that. That I had a lot of Mexico trips, Cuba trips in March break. And I remember that Friday before leaving or just being off was always electric. I have a distinct memory of being in grade 9 English class. It was the last class of the day. The next day we were going to Mexico, like a couple of families, friends of families and stuff, and I was just so fired up and It was just the best. Like, even like having a presentation or something stressful before March break, once you're done that, you're on cloud Zeltron and you're just high on life. So that's kind of my take on that, is March break was superior to spring break because you really had that anticipation and the grind. Whereas spring break, you know, we're just off. Like, what are we doing? I've already at midterms already. Like, it's obviously, I'm not complaining about the break there, but March break better than spring break. Any thoughts on that, Matt?
For me, spring break was like, oh, I get to work more shifts out farm boys. So like, it wasn't necessarily a break for me. And I was only at Ottawa U 2 years, so don't have too much to say on that. But March break, perfect month for it, because March is a long month and it's a grind. January being the worst month of the year. You get through that, then February is a little shorter, but March is just annoying. And that break, I've never gone on a trip during March break, like a big one, But I remember it being, I remember the week going by like slowly. Like it was a nice, like right now weeks fly by. But as a kid, a day and a week definitely went by slower for me. So it was a nice rejuvenation and just relax at home. And I don't even know, like when I was a kid, I must have, one of my parents must have stayed home to watch us, right? So that was probably awesome, you know, like eating food, like, I don't know, playing and just eating my mom's cooking. So that sounds great. Probably went to a lot of the, probably went to the theater a lot during March break. Can't really remember though, but I don't know. I never gone down south, right? Never, our family was never like a, take a trip during the winter. We would always take trips when it was nice, go somewhere nice in Canada. So yeah, I don't have as much. I can just see you though, Friday afternoon, last period English class, like bouncing out of your chair, like, come on. It's like only an hour and 50 minutes to class, but it feels like 5 hours. That's one thing I've realized is school is a joke in terms of you're only there 6 hours. Like, calm down. It's such a short part of the day compared to like, I mean, as a kid, we never thought that, right? It was an eternity. So, yeah, that's just a random tangent.
No, but we have the benefit of hindsight and perception, right? Like, it's always a, in the moment, it feels so different than when you look at it, like maybe more objectively or wisely from a future stance, right? Like from a past point of view, I don't know. It's a strange phenomenon, but I know what you're saying for sure.
Yeah.
One last thing. Oh, I had something for March break. I forget. Anyways. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, very good times. I don't really have much. For March, do you remember?
It's like it actually applies to a lot of things, but it's, you were saying like the days felt like slow, kind of, or like you could do a lot in that time, something like that. Anyway, I lost me because I was also thinking of what I was saying there, but I find that whenever you're on time off for a certain amount of time, the first few days go by and you're like, oh my God, it's only been 2 days and I've done this, that. I have so much time left. And then you blink and it's like, what? Yeah. I'm back to school. I'm back to work tomorrow. Like, it's strange. Like, I don't know if you agree with that, but I find like the start of your time off or your March break, for example, summer, whatever it is, you're always like, oh, I have so much time left. And then it flies by and you're like, yeah, that's it. That was it.
That happens to me still to this day. Yeah. Like my Sundays are disappear. So yeah, that's a good point, Eric. We can do a whole episode on like how we thought of things as kids, teenagers, and now adults, like how we view things differently and perceive things, and everything's relative to like where you are at in your life. Yeah. Like I hear like the younger people that I work with, they're 19, 20, and how like, did I behave that way? Was I that much of a moron when I was 20 in the workplace? Like, because these people are like, these Gen Zers are like cracking me up every day with their comments. Like, I can't even believe some of the stuff coming out of their mouth or the way they behave. But that's topic for another day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that would be like if we do like a social, like mental, like pod, like a Freudian podcast, not a Freudian podcast, but like, I don't know, talk about like the social dilemma, you know, that documentary. Because that's ever so relevant. But yeah, I don't have anything else for March break. Is there anything else you want to highlight for the spring, summer, season itself?
I did have one more point, but it kind of segues into like the listener submissions. So we asked like, what do you like about spring the most? So the first one we got was from Andy. So she submitted longer days and sunlight.
Mm.
And also wanting to touch on, I'll just read her message exactly. Yeah, so longer days, sunlight, and note that we turned back the clock on November 5th, 2023, and then went forward on March 10th. So feels like a very short time in between turning back the clock and then springing forward. So that was my last point, daylight savings, which I'm going to sound like a fool here. She told me like the night before that tomorrow was daylight savings. I had no idea. I had zero clue we were springing forward. It's a good thing she told me, because then I would have felt like very lost when I woke up and that the clock was off to what my phone was saying. But yeah, I feel like it completely snuck up on us, first of all. And I think that's a factor where normally we maybe fall back a bit earlier in the year in October or something. November 5th, like, what are we doing here? What's the point? I like the fallback. I feel like the fallback is better in a sense where you get more time, but the spring forward, like she said, more sunlight, longer days, absolutely love that. And it's the preview of what's to come for summer. It's just like the sun is out. It was up to like close to 7 the other day. It's fantastic.
Psychologically, it's amazing. Like, I love driving home and it's still light outside, like at 7. Like, it's sunset's happening as I'm driving home. It's perfect. Hate driving home in the pitch black, especially when there's no street lights. But I religiously stare at a calendar every day. Like, I'm always looking at like what's going on, and then I see it on the calendar and I'm like, shit, I'm gonna lose an hour of sleep, so go to bed earlier. I did not do that, but whatever. That was a rough morning. But yeah, no, daylight savings. I know when it's coming, and I always like when we fall back because then I can go to bed later and gain a free hour. So yeah.
Fall back is nice as well. I don't change the time in my car either. So for the longest time, for the last 4 months, basically, my clock has been off by an hour ahead, right? So now I just caught up to it and I don't need to make a change. It's kind of a nice little life hack, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just laziness and I'm just trying to spin zone it that way. But so that's that.
For 5 months.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks a lot, Andy. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Next one is from the homie Jeff Lavoie. So he said nature coming back to life, which is great, like just going from the deadness of the trees and whatnot to burgeoning leaves, flowers. It is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then the homie Sam Labbe said Easter long weekend. So touched on that.
Oh yeah.
Justin Mochtinger, warmer weather. So a lot, there's definitely some overlap in our submissions here, but warmer weather, great pick. My mom submitted a few. She said my baby's birthdays, so literal babies and me and my brother, and also my dad's birthday is also in the spring, so like the three of us our birthdays, like all in a month span pretty much. She said longer days and more sunlight, exactly like Andy said, and then setting up the outdoor decor, chairs and tables.
Mm. Perfect.
Yeah. So good picks. And then the next one was from Klesin, so former guest. She said the promise of summer, which I like that word. It's like we said, it's like the preview, right?
Exactly, the little tease.
And then Zach, he also submitted sitting in front of the TV all weekend watching the Masters, so golf tournament. I agree. Like, that's the only golf tournament where I'm really dialed in pretty much from the start. Most tournaments, I'll be aware of what's going on the Sunday. I might watch a bit on the Sunday too, but I tend to not really care too much what happens on the Thursday, Friday, because it's kind of irrelevant in a sense. Like, you obviously need to do well so you make the cut on the weekend. But guys who go into the Sunday with a solid lead quite often choke. So I take the leads going into Saturday with even less grains of salt, where it, like, the stakes aren't high yet. It's really, what are you doing when the pressure's on? And if you've been following golf lately, it's like guys are doing well, and then Scottie Scheffler clutches up when it matters most, and he wins at the at the 11th hour. So it's like, I always feel like there's a Canadian golfer too, who my brother's saying like, oh, Nick or Cam Hughes or what, Mackenzie Hughes is like -8 today. I'm like, who cares? Like, he's not going to win on Sunday. I'm sorry, but like, it's just how it is.
Yeah. I have very fond memories of watching the Masters with my dad the Saturday, Sunday when I was a kid. Like, that was always a tradition. Do nothing. It was a great time.
It's the sickest golf
tournament. Now I don't watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, great submission. I agree. I'm excited for the Masters. That's in a couple of weeks at this point. There may 2-3 weeks, I think. So, I'm excited for that for sure. So, those are our submissions. We did. Then I put the poll up for, like, summer or spring or winter. which season do you prefer? It was a closer split than I was expecting, honestly. So it ended up being 64% spring, 36% winter. So not that far off. Like, a lot of people do enjoy the winter, mostly because of the activities, you know, the coziness, all that. I've touched on it. But yeah, I just want to shout out the people who voted and submitted responses. Appreciate you for that, as always.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for submitting that.
One more thing I wanted to get into in depth is the Tulip Festival. I'm just kidding. Let's do some random recommendations.
You got me so good, Eric. I was like, wait, what am I going to say on that? You got me good. But long walks downtown, that's a thing. Like, walk meandering downtown. Yeah, I'm sure it's nice.
Like, I feel like Andy and I have gone in the past, like, at least once. Yeah. It is very nice, but it's, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think we can.
That was
good.
I think
we've bookended. Thank you. I think we've done spring. It gets just desserts. Now we can get into some recommendations. I got a ton of stuff I've been watching and stuff. So, Matt, do you have something you want to lead off with?
I'll lead off. I have five movies to talk about. First movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife. The new one's like literally coming out in a couple weeks or so, or next month. I don't know. It's going to be out soon. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So this one, Ghostbusters Afterlife. This was like 2-3 years ago it came out. Didn't even watch it. This is a first time watch. I heard it's very nostalgic. Tributes the original Ghostbuster. I really enjoyed this movie, guys. I thought it was good action. They did a good job of, like, the movie was a tribute to Harold Ramis, who was the Ghostbuster. He passed away in 2015, and this was like a nice touching tribute to his memory. You had the original cast showing up in the movie. It's what it had the Stranger Things vibe of, like, the past is cool and we're going to bring it back. Like, that's the fad right now with movies. You know, they're bringing back old 80s movies and trying to do them again. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out. Roadhouse. And sometimes it works out really well. Ghostbusters Afterlife. I wasn't excited for this one coming out. Now, having watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, I'm really looking forward to the new one. Paul Rudd does a great job in it. Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things is in this franchise too now. He's good. The little girl who's the main character, she's great too. She's kind of like a Sheldon type character, you know, super wizardly, like super smart, just a little awkward socially. I don't know. The mom character was all right, too. It was a good movie. Have you seen Ghostbusters Afterlife, Eric?
I haven't. And honestly, I don't know what you're going to think about this, but I remember we watched Ghostbusters as a family years ago at this point. But I was like an adult, and I was not into it. Like, I don't know if it's the datedness of it for me. And I know Zach, my brother, also did not like it either. Maybe it's like a revisit it again, give it a no. Now knowing how the first experience was, maybe I won't have the same expectations of, like, you're watching Godfather 2 for the first time. You're expecting best movie of all time, but you're like, you're seeing its merit, but also, like, it maybe doesn't live up. I'm just throwing that out there randomly. But yeah, so Ghostbusters, first time watch, not the best, but I'm glad to hear that this one is good. And maybe, I'm sure it has homages to the original movies, but you can kind of go into it not having seen them all and just appreciate it as a movie. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but yeah, you can let me know the next one is too, and because I need a new 2024 movie. It's been pretty dry out here.
Well, it's just the beginning, but for sure, Eric, nostalgia plays a big part. Absolutely. I don't know how someone would feel like if they watched The Goonies for the first time, having never seen it before. Like, I like all those movies are immensely better when you watch them as a kid, and they're still good as an adult. And yeah, so yeah, nostalgia. You know, like the. Like, when a show or a movie shows, like, oh, remember when this happened in the original? The member berries, we call them, like, remembering all the little Easter eggs, basically. Yeah. That's, like, what the big thing is now, and they did a good job for Ghostbusters Afterlife. And Ghostbusters has a huge fan base, so very popular stuff. But yeah, Eric, why don't you hit us with your first
recommendation? Okay, so I've been watching. So in saying that, movies hasn't been much out this year that I've really enjoyed. I've only seen 3 movies of 2024, but TV shows, I've seen a ton, and I'm watching quite a few that I might hold off on recommending until I'm done with them. But one that I did start and finish that I can firmly recommend is playing on Prime Video, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, with Donald Glover and Maya Erskine, who I did not know Maya Erskine was the voice for the main character in Blue-Eyed Samurai, my number four show of 2023. It was, my number four show. So Mr. and Mrs. Smith, obviously, it's a spinoff on the movie, right? The 2005 movie, which I've actually never seen in full. I've seen clips here and there, but now I kind of want to watch the movie. So yeah, the show, it's basically about these two people who are like ex-secret intelligence. They have a past in various secret intelligence agencies, and they're looking for a rebrand, a different shift in their career, and they get matched together to be a couple. They become a married couple. They go on missions and stuff, and every episode is pretty much episodic in that they have a new assignment. They're learning more about each other. They develop more feelings for each other based on, at first, they didn't really want to engage in a relationship. All that being said, I really enjoyed this show, honestly. I thought it was very good. It gave me a vibe of Atlanta, the show created and starring Donald Glover as well. And I'm not just saying that because he was in it. I found that a lot of the humor was kind of along the same vibes. It's hard to describe, but if you've seen Atlanta, you'll probably agree with me in that the way they compose scenes and like the script is awesome. Okay. I found that was one of the biggest strengths of the movie. The dialogue, there's a lot of very relatable stuff in there in terms of relationship. And obviously it's to an extreme where like we're dealing with two people who are put together and they're killing people there. I'm not saying like that's relatable, but just the dynamic at times of stuff they talk about, it's so good. It's believable in that sense. And I found it pretty funny at times. Cool action. Definitely a good recommend. So if you end up watching it, let me know what you think. And a show I enjoyed a lot this year, that's for sure. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I hope they get renewed for a second season.
That's good to hear. I've seen it pop up. Haven't watched it. I've seen the movie. I've liked the movie. And from what you're saying, from what you're describing, is the plot is not it's different from the movie, which is a good thing. So I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, the movie was anyways, I'm not going to get into the movie. But yeah, no, I like those I like Donald Glover, and always fun to see a newcomer, Maya Erskine. So that'll be cool to see.
That's just another highlight.
I got
chemistry between the two of them, unbelievable.
Nice. I'm trying to keep up with shows, but not watching them too fast because I know we might talk about a few on the podcast. But honestly, TV has been awesome this year so far.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So good.
So, but TV's always I find like there's way better TV. We have way more to watch for TV than movies, in my opinion, with all the streaming. And Frank, the other day I'm watching like Game of Thrones videos on YouTube and I'm like, oh, I want to watch the show again and maybe stop at season 7. But like, anyways, I'm not going to do that. It's going to waste all my time. I'm going to watch Shogun instead and Masters of the Air. Now Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Bad Batch. I'm still watching Bad Batch. I'm loving it. I'm like episode 6 or 7, however many are out. That's been great. But I'm not talking about, we'll talk about that when the show's done. My next movie, I got into like a little bit of an Oscar mood. The Oscars were not last Sunday, 2 Sundays ago as of time of recording. And first of all, happy to see Oppenheimer win. It was Nolan's night. Happy to see it. Just quickly, Eric, what did you think of the Oscars?
Yeah, I wasn't planning on watching the whole thing. I thought it started at 8, so I missed the first hour, I guess. But I watched from 8 to the end, and a few surprises. I didn't think American Fiction would beat out Oppenheimer for adapted screenplay.
Right.
I thought that was a lock for Oppenheimer, but very happy to see American Fiction get a bit of recognition because that was a fantastic movie. Anyway, I already talked about it, but happy there and happy for Emma Stone, poor things. She was kind of my pick there as well. I honestly would have liked to see Sandra Hüller, I think is her name, from Anatomy of a Fall. I thought she was amazing as well.
That's
such a good movie. I'll not to bypass you here, just throw that in there. I wasn't going to recommend a movie, but Anatomy of a Fall, it's on in Prime Video. Fantastic movie. Yeah, no, Oscars are really good. Good for all the actors. Like, deserved, really, for Killian, RDJ, Oppenheimer. I rewatched Oppenheimer. It was great. Great movie.
There were no big upsets, you know, like even Emma Stone. Like, that was an upset, but Emma Stone was fantastic. Anyways, speaking of Sandra Hüller, however you say her name. I watched her other movie this year, the movie that won Best Foreign Language Film for England, and the movie is The Zone of Interest, directed by Jonathan Glazer. I watched that literally 3 hours before the Oscars. I sat down, I'm like, I feel like this movie's, it's nominated, it's going to be talked about tonight, I better watch it, like, I better squeeze it in here. So I went to my mom's, we watched the movie, then I watched the Oscars with my mom. Anyways, it was awesome. Awesome night. The movie, The Zone of Interest, I really liked it, but man, this movie is very glacial pace, very, it's a very mundane movie about the life of Rudolf Haas, who's the commander of Auschwitz for the Germans. Like, it's a very static movie. The camera barely moves. It just goes from shot to shot, presenting the everyday lives of Rudolf and his wife as they're conducting their day-to-day business. Sandra Hüller plays his wife in the movie, and she just has, like, housekeeping stuff to do, and she's going, like, just enjoying life. But the whole time you're watching the movie, you're hearing, like, gunshots and screams in the background. It's very goosebumpy. Like, it gives you goosebumps, and you're very, like, a frightening atmosphere, but a pleasant day-to-day life for, you know, the commander and his wife and her children whilst the atrocities are going on. And you don't see an ounce of violence in the movie. And it's very, like I said, mundane is the correct word for this movie. There's not much that happens, but it's just a scary, eerie part of history. I don't even know if I enjoy watching, like, entertained while watching this movie, but it's a good piece of art, and I'm glad I watched it. Yeah, so any interest in The Zone of Interest, Eric, or...?
Yes and no. I kind of do want to see it just to see it, because I've actually seen most of the 2023 movies, really, like, for the Oscar-nominated ones. That's one that's missing. But my only worry with it was that it's kind of a brutal movie in the sense where, like, there's atrocity. Like, you obviously, you know what the content, the nature of the movie is, like, mm-hmm. the setting that it's in. But is there, like, very eerie things that you're seeing? And, like, even I know, like, the sound's a big component to the movie as well. Like, is it a rough watch? That's kind of what I'm wondering.
It's not a rough watch at all visually, but when you think about it, it is. Because, like, let me give you an example. Like, there's a scene where Rudolf and his kids, they're all, like, swimming or fishing or whatever, they're in the water, and then the dad immediately is like, everyone get out of the water, because they're starting to get, like, ash in their eyeballs and on their skin, like, from the crematorium. Like, shit like that, where it's like, you know what happened. They don't show any of it, though. Gotcha. Or, like, the wife going through, like, some fur coats that were received from the latest batch of inmates, right? Like, she goes and steals, like, she takes whatever she wants. Like, stuff like that. It's very morbid. Visually, though, there's no gore or you don't see anything. But the subject matter is very bleak. Like, you don't crack a smile the whole movie. It's not a funny movie. It's not a fun movie. It's superbly acted, very glacial, mundane. There was something about it, though, I was like, this is fascinating that, like, these people have no, they know what's, like, they talk about the Holocaust in one scene in a boardroom, like, it was, like, planning, like, a Thanksgiving dinner. Like, they're just super, like, here are the numbers, here's what we need to move all this. It was super, getting super technical, and you're like, this is how it happened. Like, they're talking about this like a product, not like human lives that they're moving and killing, you know? So it's very eye-opening, actually. I'd show this movie in, like, a history class just to show you, like, the how normal it all seemed back then for the Germans. Yeah, that's The Zone of Interest. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's, yeah, like, it definitely has a lot of value in seeing it. Like, it's always tough to watch those movies, though. It's so sad. And, yeah. But it's also not really always the best way to go, to just turn a blind eye to, like, this is sad, so I don't want to engage with it as media, right? So, like, it's good to, like, be reminded of, like, fuck, like, these things, these tragic things happen. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So, me, a bit, like, very different, but it's actually a book I've been getting into and just cruising through it. I have the cover removed because I don't like the paper, but Murtaugh, part of the Inheritance series, I guess. So it's the Aragon book series. So they, the Christopher Paolini, the author, just released, I think, late last year, a fifth installment in that universe, Murtaugh, which centers around the titular character, who, if you don't really know, he kind of plays like the foil to our main character, Aragorn. I don't want to spoil anything if anyone is interested in this series, really, or hasn't heard. But he's like a... What I'll say is he's like what Aragorn could have been. Aragorn is what he could have been had his life turned out a bit different. That's kind of the perfect way to describe it, in that he's like not squandered potential, but the circumstances in which he found himself completely derailed the trajectory of his life. And I find that so fascinating to read about a character like that who, in the other books, he's not the main character. It's Aragorn's. Aragorn is your main character of the first four books, and now we're really following Murtaugh, his point of view on life. It's very interesting, and for me, super fun to get back into this universe where, like, I love the Aragorn books, and I actually was reading up the other day that apparently Disney is making an Aragorn series on Disney Plus, so who knows when that'll come out, but I hope they do it right, first of all, because that movie is an atrocity. I was looking up YouTube clips the other day. So bad. So bad.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, this is a huge letdown when I saw the movie. I saw it with my mom, and we're both like, yeah, it wasn't that good. Maybe at the time, like, I wasn't as critical of it as I am now, but I hope if they do this series, they do it right and really stick to the lore, because there's so much cool stuff they could do. But anyways, Matt, I don't know if you've read all the books in this series there, but if you do want to get back into it, it was like, it's been so long since I've been in this world, but they give you a quick little recap. Anytime they're mentioning places, they're like, oh, and this is where I did this with this character. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember about that. It's a lot of weird names and stuff, but you get back into a groove. I'm like 400 pages in and I'm just eating it up right now. Very good. So yeah, Murtaugh, Christopher Paolini, check it out.
I'm a huge fan of the Inheritance saga or series. I've read the first four. I laughed when you brought the book up, because I'm actually reading it right now too. I'm at page like 150.
Hey, let's go.
Still at the beginning. Go. Yeah, like I was just keeping quiet.
Nice.
You're much further than I'm reading it very slowly. Like I will read it like in between periods of hockey games, or I'm trying to read, do my best. Not boring at all. I'm into it. I'm picking stuff back up too. I loved reading the other four. I think I read them twice, like once in French, once in English. Like it's a rich universe. Sure, it borrows from other fantasy worlds, but who cares? It's superbly done. And the movie's an abomination, and it has great actors in it, but it's still an abomination. I think Taylor Kitsch plays Murtaugh in the movie.
I could see that, to be
honest. I think so, yeah. And Jeremy Irons is in it, and John Malkovich, Robert Carl. It's a good Taylor actors, Kitsch, but shit movie.
No,
yeah, yeah.
Yo, that's
He'd be a good Murtaugh still, actually.
He could, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be still a good...
That'd be like my ultimate role is to be cast as Murtaugh. That'd be unreal.
So far, I'm loving it. I'm loving it, Eric. Like, very sympathetic, you know? Like, they have the same... Him and Aragorn have the same mother, but two different dads. And, like, that's literally the difference is... Anyways, good stuff, Eric. I'm glad... it's going to push me to read it even faster now.
So you're around, like, Muckmaw. I just went to, like, page 150. Are you around that?
Literally there.
Yeah, nice.
Literally there. Yeah. Like, he's trying... Yeah. He has to do a task for the guard or something to get into favor with the... Anyways, he's got to do favor.
Yeah.
Anyways...
Let's go. Love
my next movie. I don't know if you've seen this movie or if we've talked about Wes Anderson. Well, you've probably seen it. It's a Wes Anderson movie, Moonrise Kingdom. So here's the deal. Mackenzie, my girlfriend, she doesn't watch any movies at all. Like, she doesn't even know who Wes Anderson is. So I pull out Moonrise Kingdom from my shelf and I'm like, you're either going to love this or hate it, or because it's a Wes Anderson, quirky characters, weird backgrounds, weird, like, funny dialogue. So I threw it on. I'm like, you'll love it or hate it. If you love it, we'll watch his filmography. So we watch Moonrise Kingdom. I love the movie. I think it's great. Super fast paced. So the movie ends and I look at her and she's like, well, what was the point? Like, she had some questions, but overall she liked it. She thought it was cute, funny, but not funny. Like, she asked me, she's like, why is this a comedy? I'm like, well, because it's like that awkward quirkiness, you know, like the dialogue is, the dialogue's razor sharp and the performances are good, but she had never seen it, right? So it was weird showing someone for the first time a Wes Anderson movie, just throw them in there, and she appreciated it for sure though. So I that's one of my favorite Wes Anderson movies. Not as good as Grand Budapest Hotel, but very solid movie. Edward Norton's great in it. Bruce Willis, Bill Murray, good stuff. Do you remember the movie that well, Eric?
I've recommended it on the pod. Like when we did our movies in quarantine, at one of those episodes, I remember specifically recommending it. Great movie. I loved it. I feel like it's an easy watch too. Like there's a love story in there. It's cute, like you said, like with the kids and stuff. Like no, great movie. I actually should rewatch that. And that's a good point. Like exact same thing with me and Andy. Like she's not a huge movie girl. Definitely doesn't know who Wes Anderson is, but that would be a good movie to show her, and I feel like she would like it, to be honest. So it's a good good call. And yeah, but I'd say Grand Budapest the best for sure. Then Moonrise Kingdom might be number two. Like I liked Isle of Dogs a lot, and I liked the other one, Fantastic Mr. Fox. I like that one a lot as well. I like Wes Anderson. I didn't see like the last few movies there, but he's solid.
Same.
I like his style. Anyways, nice. Now good recommend. So like I said, I got a couple of other shows that I'm not done yet, so I don't really want to say them yet. But another show that I did, and it's I guess seasonally correct. I finished it up. Documentary, Full Swing season 2 on Netflix. I don't know if you're watching or have watched any of this, Matt. Very good. It's a good way to get into like knowing who the PGA golfers are as well. I watched it with Andy. Like she's now into like a few of these golfers, like wants to root for them and stuff when like it comes up in conversation. So like you really get to their into their personal lives. It's cool like seeing they explain a lot of golf stuff too in there. So it's good for like if you don't have as much knowledge on how like tournaments work and like the purses and money that they win, they explain the point system and all that. So very good. I hope they get renewed for a third season. There's a lot of drama in the golf world right now too, so it's a good easy documentary to watch. A lot of feel good. Like there's always like the trials and tribulations to then the success story in the end. So like, it's fun to see them go through the motions and the pressures. And I know they're going to do a show like this for hockey players. They've announced it's going to be like a group of 12 NHLers. So I'm pumped for that whenever that happens. So yeah, Full Swing season 2. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
I have not checked it out. I hear nothing but good things about it, though, from my coworkers that are like golf fanatics, and they freaking love this show. So I'll have to add it to my list. I was going to talk about 5 movies, but I'll just talk about one more because one of them is just a rewatch, and it's like almost 10 years old. But anyways, the one I want to talk about is from last year. You changed up your list a little bit after watching like Anatomy of a Fall, and you changed your top 10 list basically. And honestly, if I had watched this movie before we did the episode with Nez and Dallas, I think this movie would have definitely made my list. The movie is All of Us Strangers. It's on Disney Plus. All of Us Strangers, directed by Andrew Haig, who's I've seen 2 of his other movies and they're excellent. This movie stars Andrew Scott. You guys know him as Moriarty from the Sherlock. The British Sherlock show. He's the main character in this movie. This movie is not what I expected when I pressed play. Like I read the description and this movie took me for a ride that I was not expecting, an emotional ride, and twists, like plot twists, like crazy, like wait, what just happened? I want to rewatch the whole movie now and see like how the hell I missed that, or clues, you know? This movie has this level of like great storytelling and narrative. But it's a movie about like our main character who's gay, like he develops a relationship with a neighbor, but then it also goes back to his past with his parents and like incidents that happened then that shaped him into who he is now. And it deals with like tragedy and trauma that can like still affect you as an adult. But this movie is very weird. It has like a twist to it. And I'm not going to tell you like the gimmick they use. I want you to watch the movie and you'll see it right away. Like a technique they used to like, I'm not going to say much. They have a little like fresh take on a certain thing and it was well done. I didn't know how I felt halfway through the movie, but the second half is super strong. It's a hard movie to watch. Very intense conversations. Minimally graphic lovemaking scenes that are, like I said, homosexual. So that made me a little, didn't make me uncomfortable, but like any sex scene like that would make me uncomfortable because it's very intimate. And if you're not used to seeing that, like you're going to be jarred. Like I can't believe they went there, but anyways, good on them. You know, that director likes to do that, actually push boundaries. But All of Us Strangers was a phenomenal movie. In my opinion, it was really good. It would have made my top 10, but it didn't watch it in time. So it's on Disney Plus right now.
Okay. I'm assuming you got to have the parental controls on there. That's not popping up for anybody, right? You got to make sure the 18 plus stuff is on there.
Yeah. There's a lot of sexual and coarse language. Yeah.
Gotcha.
For sure.
Nice. No, I've heard of it. I didn't really know what it was about, to be honest. I kind of figured just based on, like, when I saw it on Letterboxd, like, the picture for the movie, it kind of hints towards that it's, like, a homosexual relationship that the men have in the movie there. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know anything about it other than what it was hinting at on the Letterboxd there. But right on that you enjoyed it and that it would have been top 10 movie, like with some intrigue and like a good twist. I feel like is always fun to have, like, and it just flips expectations on your head and you're like, okay, whoa, like they're going here with that, so it's good to
and like this movie is not just like a gay love story. Like this movie, I thought it was just a gay love story that I was going to enjoy because of the good acting. This movie is so much more because of the twists and turns, and that like really threw me for a loop. I just want to like say, don't like pigeonhole this movie as just a romance. It becomes like, what the hell? Like it becomes trippy, actually. The best way I can describe it is it reminded me of that movie Ghost Story with Casey Affleck, a weird like metaphysical journey through time. Like this All of Us Strangers has a bit of that in it, where you're like a bit confused as to what's going on, and then there's an explanation. There's like weird time stuff happening.
Okay.
There's another movie too that what was it called, like I totally forget it, Eric, but I think we both watched it. It was on Netflix.
Sanctuary,
maybe. Jesse Plemons was in it. It was like Secret Little Things or something, or
Jesse Plemons.
Oh,
I don't know.
No, maybe not Jesse Plemons. Anyways, it had weird narrative structure to it. Anyways, that's all I'm saying. I recommend the movie.
Right on. Yeah, I've got one more thing. Just to switch it up there, I'll go with an album. There's a few good ones out there that I've enjoyed. One I'll promote is one that might be a little lesser known. It's called Pinball by Mike.
Mm.
Mike Pinball. And Tony Seltzer. This album is by like this guy called Mike and then this producer, Tony Seltzer. And I know of Mike basically from like a somewhat underground rap scene. This guy gets a lot of praise. If you heard him on features for artists I that I know anyways, like Earl Sweatshirt, Chuck Strangers, guys like that who they collaborate with him and they just praise this guy as like an unbelievable rapper. And I've always found from what I've heard of him that he's got kind of like a very deep voice, monotone, great lyrics, but doesn't really do anything for me. And I've actually listened to a few of his albums and they always get high praise. But this one I actually really enjoyed. It's like 20 minutes long. There's more of an upbeat vibe to it. It's not like the traditional underground where sometimes it can just be super dark and like insane lyricism, but everything else just doesn't really do anything for you. This one is a bit more like there's some trap in there, upbeat songs. Definitely more a vibe that I can actually, I'll throw it on every now and then. Like, let's throw this quick album on and like I'm vibing to it. So I've listened to it multiple times and I'm actually enjoying it more and more. The first time I was like, all right, this is pretty solid. I'll come back to it. But now I'm like, yeah, let's go. Pinball, Mike. And fun album. Interested to see if you enjoy it. And so that's what I wanted to recommend. Something different.
Nice. I'll check it out. I haven't heard anything about this, so yeah. I'll add it to my list. I've been doing the best this year, cataloging what I listen to and keeping up. Like, I'm doing... It's only March, but I'm doing great so far.
Yeah. Yeah, same year. 22 albums so far. I'm going through them.
Wow. Okay. Whoa. Okay, I'm not doing that great then, but I've got at least 10.
That's all. That's great, though, honestly.
But yeah. Yeah.
No, there's some.
But yeah, I got stuff. Nothing else, Eric. I'm time-wise, too. I think we're good here.
Yeah, sounds good. We can save stuff for another time. So yeah, next episode, we'll update you all on Murtaugh. But no, it was fun to do this, Matt. Nice. Another season down in the books. Murtaugh, yep. Pun intended. Any final notes for the listeners?
Yeah, everybody, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I want to thank everyone who submitted to your Instagram story. That's all. I love reading, hearing your responses, and hope you're going to enjoy spring and then enjoy summer like I will. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, well said, Matt. So yeah, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for episodes dropping every 2 Mondays. Yeah, continue and just enjoy the nice weather. Hopefully you can get out for a nice round of golf soon. And yeah, peace.